sports history fans. I'm Ross from the podcast Pigskin Tales. You're about to jump into another thrilling sports history moment, but first, let's dive into today's sponsor, just in time for the holiday season. Introducing Art of Words, the brainchild of word artist Dan Duffy from Philadelphia. Dan meticulously crafts stunning images by handwriting relevant words from some of the greatest sports moments in time. These unique, budget-friendly illustrations are the perfect gift, sparking cherished memories and capturing hearts. Choose from city skylines, sports, history, and musicians to find a piece for everyone. And here's the exciting part. For that sports fanatic in your life, gift them a piece of their favorite team or player's history. Art of Words tells a compelling story. Explore collegiate stadiums, each meticulously crafted with every football victory etched into words. Or venture into baseball stadiums, handwritten with every player from the team's illustrious history. My favorite on the site is Bryce Harper 2021 MVP year. Because I'm a big stats guy, I think that's one of the coolest things ever. Check it out. Don't wait. Order a print today for yourself and your loved one this holiday season. Transform your wall into a gallery of captivating art and surprise your family and friends with a print of their own. Use code SHN15 at artofwords.com for a 15% discount on your order in November and December. Visit Art of Words, where words magically transform into stunning art, evoking cherished memories and touching the hearts of those who you care about. Again, use the code SHN15 for 15% off at artofwords.com.
You can tell we're going to have a superior episode of this podcast when we have Legends of the Game of January 18th include Hall of Fame rosters on Super Bowl X that had 12 Hall of Famers on it. And we talk about legends like Jim Thorpe and Al Davis all in this episode. And it's all coming up in just a moment.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Pigskin Dispatch is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network at sportshistorynetwork.com. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the Pig Pen as we will go into the football history headlines on this episode for January 18th, and we'll talk about a couple birthdays of Hall of Famers on this day as well. And let's get right at it because we have a lot of information to cover today. January 18th, 1951, the rules revisions came out at the annual NFL meetings. A rule was instituted that guards, tackles, and centers were ineligible for forward pass, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website. This rule change led to make it what the game is today, where there can be only six eligible receivers on any given play. The widest receiver on each end of the line, the four backfield players. The NFL took control of the original failing Baltimore Colts franchise also. Colts owner Abraham Wattner returned the Baltimore franchise and its players' contracts back to the NFL for $50,000 in cash. Those former Baltimore Colts players were made available in the upcoming 1951 NFL draft at the same time as the college players were picked. The Colts were originally members of the AAFC, and when that league disbanded, they, the Browns, and the 49ers were absorbed into the NFL. In 1953, the name of the Baltimore Colts was resurrected when the NFL granted permission for a struggling Dallas Texans franchise to be taken over by the league. NFL Commissioner Burt Bell challenged the city of Baltimore to sell 15,000 season tickets within 6 weeks, and when they succeeded, the franchise was sold to Carol Rosenblum, who opened up shop as the Baltimore Colts once again. Robert Irsay acquired the Los Angeles Rams franchise in 1972 and then subsequently engineered a big trade of teams with Carol Rosenblum that year. 12 years later, on March 28, 1984, Irsay moved the Colts to Indianapolis, where they rise today. And speaking of that 1951 NFL draft, that same day, January 18th, 1951, took place right after the meeting that we just talked about was completed. Kyle Rote from SMU was the first pick by the New York Football Giants. Future Hall of Famers that came out of this draft were quarterback Y.A. Tittle as a third overall pick by the 49ers, Dan Stanfield by the Lions at number 19, and the Bears took Bill George with the 23rd pick. The ProFootballReference.com website also tells us that other future Pro Football Hall of Famers, including Mike McCormick, taken by the New York Yanks, Art Donovan by the Browns, and Detroit's pick of Jack Christensen, and then a guy by the name of Don Shula was picked by the Browns. January 18, 1963, Al Davis became the head coach and the general manager of the Oakland Raiders on this day. Davis had an extremely interesting pride in his pro football career. Al turned the Raiders in 1963 into winners, sporting a 10-4 record in the AFL, after only managing a dismal 9-33 record before as a franchise in their 3 years of existence, prior to Davis being hired as the head coach. Soon after, in 1966, according to the BleacherReport.com article, Al Davis was selected to act as the AFL commissioner and served in that capacity until the league merged with the NFL. It was after this point that Davis returned to Oakland, where he served as a co-owner of the franchise and eventually became the majority owner and the main decision-maker of those Oakland Raiders. January 18, 1970, at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, the 20th NFL Pro Bowl took place as the Western teams outlasted those of the East 16-13. Chicago Bears legendary halfback Gale Sayers and George Andre, the defensive end of the Dallas Cowboys, were selected as the game's most valuable players per the OnThisDay.com website. January 18, 1976, at the Orange Bowl of Miami, Florida, the NFL World Championship was settled in Super Bowl X. The Dallas Cowboys, winners of the NFC, were matched up against the AFC champs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. These two teams were filled with future Pro Football Hall of Famers. In fact, there were 12 in all. The Cowboys fielded Roger Staubach, Ray Fieldwright, Mel Renfro, and Cliff Harris, while the Steelers countered with Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert, Mel Blount, Joe Green, Jack Hamm, John Stallworth, and Lynn Swann. The head coaches, Chuck Knoll and Tom Landry, also ended up getting their bus put in Canton, according to the ProFootballReference.com. The Cowboys had a 3-point lead at the half, but the majority of the scoring took place in the final stanza. It was the Steelers that put up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter by some iconic acrobatic catches by Lynn Swann to overcome the Dallas Cowboys' late charge. The final score was the Pittsburgh Steelers 21 to the 17 points of the Dallas Cowboys. Lynn Swann was an obvious choice as the game's most valuable player. Our next headline tells about some wrongs from long ago that were righted. January 18, 1983, the International Olympic Committee restored Jim Thorpe's Olympic medals for winning both the pentathlon and the decathlon 70 years after they were taken away from him, per the NDNSports.com website article. At the 1912 Olympic Games, Thorpe became the first Native American to win Olympic gold years before this ethnic group was accepted as American citizens. After his performance at the Games, Sweden's King Gustav V called Jim Thorpe the world's greatest athlete. The victory and the world acclaim was soured, though, about 6 months later when it was uncovered that in 1909 and 1910, Thorpe had allegedly had his room and board paid for by a semi-pro baseball team that he had played for. The IOC almost immediately stripped Thorpe of those medals and took his name out of the record books while refusing to hear Thorpe's side of the story of allegedly receiving what would amount to be about $25 of his expenses being paid for. After decades of petitioning and the release of the 1912 IOC documents, the Olympic Governing Board returned Thorpe's medals but erroneously listed him as the co-champion of the events. Sorry, there should not be any asterisks next to this great athlete's names and his accomplishments in that Olympics. January 18th, year 2000, Robert Wood Johnson IV, the heir to the Johnson & Johnson Company, was approved by the NFL at the owners' meetings to be able to purchase the New York Jets franchise. Now we'll go to some OnThisDay.com conference championship scoreboard. January 18, 2004, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. The AFC Championship game had the New England Patriots over the Indianapolis Colts 24-14. On the NFC side of the ball in 2004, the game was played this date, had the Phillies Lincoln Financial Field, where the Carolina Panthers overcame the home team Philadelphia Eagles 14-3. January 18, 2009, at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, the AFC Championship game resulted in a Pittsburgh Steelers 23-14 victory over their AFC North rivals, the Baltimore Ravens. That same day in 2009, the NFC Championship game was played at the University of Phoenix Stadium. In the game, the Arizona Cardinals knocked off the Philadelphia Eagles 32-25. January 18, 2015, at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, the AFC Championship game finished up with the New England Patriots outmatching the Indianapolis Colts 45-7. On the NFC side, at CenturyLink Field in Seattle, the NFC Championship game resulted in the Seattle Seahawks taking out the Green Bay Packers 28-22 in overtime, and that made your Super Bowl matchup. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. I encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
You want to make sure you check out that great podcast, because it's a good one. Let's go to some Hall of Fame birthdays for this January 18th, and we'll start off in the year 1897 in Houston, Texas. The great Cornell halfback Eddie Kaw was born. According to the FootballFoundation.com's bio on Eddie, it claims that in 1921, when the Penn Quakers hosted the underdog Cornell Big Red, that Eddie Kaw had what was probably his greatest day in football. The undersized Cornell halfback maneuvered his way through a quagmire of mud and slop on the field, scoring five of Cornell's six touchdowns as the Big Red handed Penn its worst defeat since the series started between the two schools back in 1893. The final score was 41-0 in that contest. Kaw was named as an All-American in 1921 and again in 1922. The National Football Foundation selected Eddie Kaw to be inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1954. January 18, 1950, we have another great birthday of a legend, and he was born in Birmingham, Alabama. The birth of Pat Sullivan, the fine Auburn University quarterback, is celebrated. Sullivan was a signal calling standout from 1969 through the 1971 seasons with the Tigers. According to his bio on the National Football Foundation website, as a sophomore, he broke the school's records for total offense and passing yardage. The next year, he broke them again as a junior and was named the most valuable player in the Southeastern Conference while earning All-America honors. His senior season, Pat was at his best when he was named as a unanimous All-America and took home the Heisman Trophy. Pat Sullivan was honored with the entrance of the football legacy into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1991. Again, we'd like to thank you for joining us on these football history headlines and the birthdays of Hall of Fame legends, as we do daily on the pigskindispatch.com and on your favorite podcast provider. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and you'll know as soon as every episode is released. You can also find all of our episodes on the sportshistorynetwork.com, and there's also some other great podcasts with great celebrity hosts and great guests that'll keep your sports history interest fixed. And you want to make sure you check all those sites. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Thanks. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.